Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, we talk to local leaders who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Sherry Williams, Public Health District Director. Nan Holmes leads the conversation that was recorded November 7th, 2017 in the KWBU studio.
Sherry, I'm just so delighted to see you. It's just such a pleasure to be able to visit with you. We've known each other for a long time.
Yes.
And I'm just delighted to have this opportunity, and I've been looking forward to it ever since we talked on the phone. And if I'm drawing correctly on my memory, you are a Waco, you're a hometown girl. You're from here in Waco. Is that correct?
That is, yes. And good morning. Yes, I was born and raised in Waco. Went to elementary, high school here in Waco, graduated from what it's now, I guess it's nothing now, but it was Jefferson Moore. Prior to being Jefferson Moore, it was A.J. Moore High School, and then it transitioned to Jefferson Moore. Then it went to A.J. Moore Academy, and now it's the Academy of the University High School. So it's a whole evolution of names.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me a little bit about those early days. Who are some of the people who you think helped prepare you to be able to be a leader?
Well, first of all, I have to give honor to God because he's the one that I try to follow, mm-hmm. and he's the best leader. And then my mother, Benny Clay, she was a single mother, and there were six of us.
Wow.
And so times were hard, but we didn't know that. We always say we were poor, but we didn't know we were poor because we had love and we had everything that we needed. And so we felt that, you know, we were just normal, everyday people. And she was one that would take on the fight, more or less, for the neighborhood. If there were things that needed to be done and weren't getting done, then she would take on that fight and go talk to whoever needed to be talked to until she got the result that she was wanting. And so oftentimes the neighbors would look to her to help them and assist them, and she would always give them food. Like I said, she was a single mother with six children, so, you know, we didn't have a lot, but what we did have, we saw her would share with the neighbors and make sure that people had food to eat, clothes to wear, before there were food pantries and all of these things in the neighborhood. We lived in South Terrace when we were older, and she opened up what I knew of as the first pantry because she felt that there were people in the neighborhood who needed clothes, who needed food, so she would go out and gather it. And then the apartments, South Terrace apartments, actually gave a unit that was dedicated for the pantry, and it was called the pantry. And so she would collect food, collect clothes, whatever, and put it in a pantry and then allow people to come in and get what they needed. So she was one of my first mentors and taught me about not just leadership, but about how to help your fellow man and to care for people.
She was a community activist before that word
was popular.
Yes. Wow, that was something to have your own area to create where you have enough things to distribute where you can have that area. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. How about?
Okay. And so later on, I got married at a very young age, and I just celebrated 44 years this past Friday. But my husband was in the military, so we moved to California and stayed there a few years. And then when he got out of service, we came back home to Texas. And my first job at the health district was as a public health nurse. And
what year was that?
1982. Yes, 1982.
Yes.
And so Henrietta Napier was a public health nurse, and I always called her Miss Napier, even though I became her boss at one time. I still called her Miss Napier because mm-hmm. I had known Miss Napier growing up in the city. She was the first black public health nurse And so, you know, we knew her as the nurse who gave the shots. She took me under her wing and just kind of helped me to see what it really means to be a public health nurse. And again, caring about community and helping people who may not be as fortunate as you are, but not making a difference in people, because we're all humans, all created by God, and He loves us all the same. So we shouldn't be the ones to make differences in people. And she taught me a lot about public health and caring and how to be a good nurse. And then Dr. Kara Hanks was also at the health district, and she taught me a lot about leadership. She was my supervisor, and just watching her quiet demeanor but getting things done helped to influence my leadership style. And then Janet Emerson, mm-hmm. who was a longtime director of the health district. She was small. I would say she was small in stature, but she had a mighty force behind her. And so she, I wouldn't say demanded respect, but just by her presence, and the people knew that she meant business and respected her. And she just was a good example of a good leader to me. Yeah. A lot of people were afraid of her, but I wasn't. We became really good friends, and we shared a lot. And so,
well, at that time, there were not so many women leader in positions of leadership, women leaders in the community. So to have a female over the health district, that was a big deal. And to have women who were in leadership positions under the director, that must have been a time where you really did have to really find your voice when you wanted to try to do something.
Exactly. She was the first female director of the health district, and not just in the city of Waco, but she was one of the first in the state of Texas.
Really? So, I remember her. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you give reference to God. What about church? Were there people in the church who helped shape you?
Of course. We are AMEs, African Methodist Episcopal, mm-hmm. and in AME church, the pastor can move at any time. The bishop moves the pastors wherever they want, whenever they want. We go to what they call an annual conference and do an annual conference.
I'm Methodist too.
You can be moved. So we had several pastors in our lives that were very influential, and one of them, Reverend Otto Duncan, we still maintain contact with him. He is currently in New Orleans, and he retired, because in the AME church at age 75, you have to retire. So he retired, but then they asked him to come back because they were having a shortage and they needed to fill in until the next annual conference. But anyway, I went to Nashville this summer to a conference, and he drove from New Orleans to Nashville.
Goodness.
Just to spend some time with us, because we hadn't seen him in a while. We still keep in contact with him. But he drove over, and we had a really good visit. But we talked about the times. He was a young pastor at the time, and I think we might have even been his first church. And so he was learning, as we all were learning. But, you know, we still remember him, and he remembered us. And we had a really good time of sharing and remembering how things were then and how they are now, but still.
Yeah, there's a phrase called, you know, that sometime a church will birth you as a minister. You know, that sounds like what your church did here mm-hmm. was to birth him as a minister, and he's gone on, I'm sure, to many exciting things.
All over the country, so, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, let's talk about the health district, because I went on the web and I was like, wow, I was just like you. When I was a child growing up, the health unit mm-hmm. was where you got your shots. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember anything else.
That's what's most memorable, right?
They must have done an okay job, because I never was afraid of shots. But that's where you went. Even if you went to the doctor, you went to the health unit to get your shots. And when I went on the web and looked at the huge transformation that's happened and all the different divisions, it's really amazing to me. And one thing that really caught my eye was this city health dashboard mm-hmm. that you are one of, I mean, the health district is one of only four cities that is doing a, what do you call it?
Well, we're kind of like a, I won't say a study, but we are working to look at city level data. There's currently data at the county level, at the state level, and of course at the national level, but there's very little data that's put in any type of format at the local level, at the city level. So we're working to bring together different data points at the city level so that the city of Waco can look and say, well, these are some of the statistics that we are looking at, and the data tells us one way or the other how we're doing, and then try to draw on that to see what else needs to be done.
So that's really some groundbreaking progress that's going on right now.
Exactly.
That's just this year, 2017.
Right, and we're working in conjunction or in partnership with Prosper Waco on that initiative. So
oh,
we're
I
supporting
think that's
a
fabulous.
Lot of the providing the data, and they're putting it all together so that we can look at it as a community.
And by my count, maybe I'm not quite, but it looks like there are about 25 divisions under the health district. Does that sound?
A lot of them are under one. Public health nursing has the majority.
Okay.
But we have public health nursing by the statistics. That's where we go for our birth and death certificates. We have WIC, which is the Women, Infants, and Children Program. HIV, STD in the lab, and environmental health, which is our food safety and inspections. But the public health nursing program is the one that has all of the others with the preparedness, the immunizations, the TB, the epidemiology. So all of those kind of fall under the umbrella of public health nursing. And that's a program that has seen the most transformation over the years, because when I started, we did more direct clinical services type services, such as prenatal care and well child care. We did home visits and home health care, those kinds of things. But over time, as the community and healthcare transformed in itself, and you know, sources of payments changed, we looked at who was the best partner in the community to do some of those services. And so then we started transitioning some of those services, such as our prenatal and child health care went to the Family Health Center.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you have now 101 different home health agencies. So, you know, our role is not necessarily to provide the service, but only if it's a missing service, then we fill in the gap. But if there's other agencies in town that can and will provide the services, then our job is kind of to coordinate that to make sure that it's there but not necessarily the ones to deliver the service. So our mission changed somewhat in that services that we provided, but instead of that, at the same time that we were transitioning out, 9/11 happened, and public health before then had not necessarily been considered a first responder. But because of the types of incidents that were going on with the anthrax and things like that, then public health definitely had a role. And so we had to develop that role and say, you know, this is what we can do in these types of situations. We can educate our responders about what these agents are and how they affect you, what the health risks are, and what do you do to prevent exposure and those kinds of things. So we move more into the preparedness area. And then we've always done some disease investigations, but again, at the time, epidemiologists were moving more on the scene of public health. I'm sure we've always had them, but they were not as visible before. But now we have epidemiologists at the health district.
Mm-hmm.
And so those services just kind of changed in response to what was going on in the country. And then also based on what our needs were at the local level.
Yeah, it's like from the movie Robots, see a need, fill a need.
Yeah.
But also I noticed that you were addressing health issues, like preventative issues. That must be a little new. I mean, or was that always there?
Well, it's always kind of been a mission of public health, a prevention. I mean, that's something that we've always had as a mission. Mm-hmm. When we were doing other things, you know, filling in the gap, providing all the direct services, it didn't kind of get, it wasn't pushed all the way back, but it was not the first priority. But now it is. So now with the epidemiologists and the surveys that we can do now, and talk to people and see what their needs are, and try to look at, you know, the basic needs of folks, what the social determinants of health are, and looking at all of that, as well as looking at the data to look at, you know, what are people dying of, and what are the main illnesses in our community, and what's going on. We can put all that together and make a picture to say, okay, here's some areas that we really need to work on, and so how do we do that? And not necessarily that we are going to be the people that provide the treatment, because we have the physicians and the hospitals and so forth to do that. But our goal now is to prevent that from ever happening. So educating people about what their risk factors are, what does the data mean, and how can we as a community improve our health, mostly through diet and exercise and taking care of ourselves so that we don't get into those conditions.
Sounds simple, but it's complex.
It's hard.
I know. But what would you say is the number one health challenge? Has it changed? Is it the same? I'm sure people ask you all the time, what's the number one health challenge?
Well, if we look at the data, of course, we look at cardiovascular disease as the number one killer of people, period. And so trying to prevent that. And I think the hardest part in that is changing behaviors, because people do what they do, and they do it for whatever reasons that they do it. And then so here we are coming along and saying, you know, that's not such a good idea because of X, Y, and Z can lead to this. And so I think the biggest challenge is just, it's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity. And that's the part I think that I like the most, is working with the people. Because, you know, I think about when I was in the clinic setting and I was making home visits to women and talking about family planning, not that we provided family planning, but we talked about, you know, having children and waiting, mm-hmm. and these kinds of things. And then years later, seeing people just passing in the store, and they'll stop and say, "You still work at the clinic?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm still at the clinic." And they're like, "Well, you took care of me when I was pregnant with so-and-so, and now they're 25 years old, and I tell them all the time that you took care of me, and you told me all these things, and I didn't necessarily do what you were telling me, but I was listening." And I was like, "Well, I'm glad you were listening." So sometimes you don't see the change, but it does happen. And so I think that's the biggest reward as well as the biggest challenge. It's just working with people and trying to just not to help them to make the right choices for their lives and their families' lives.
Well, tell me the secret of how you prioritize. You've got so many divisions and subdivisions, all that. How do you decide?
Well, I don't decide. We bring it to the community to decide. And what happened with we do a community needs assessment, and we ask mm-hmm. the questions, and then we get the responses, and we look at that, and we put it together and say, you know, this is what the data shows us. But then we bring it back to the community and say, so what do you think? What do you think we need to work on? And we work on it together. As a team, it's not the health district saying you need to do X, Y, and Z, but it's the community coming together and saying we need to do X, Y, and Z.
Yes, instead of shaking your finger, you're opening your arms to right. people all over. I think that young people who are starting out today, trying to find themselves, you know, how do you lead? I think that's a good way to describe it. Almost in any situation, of thinking, well, it's best not to just try to tell people what to do, but to try to come together and have some kind of consensus. Mm-hmm. Do you use that on your staff too?
I do in a lot of situations. We come together and talk about, you know, what are the issues, and then what do y'all think is going to work? And I'll tell them, I say, I'm asking you for your opinion. I have a thought of what I'd like to see happen, but, you know, I'm not always right either. So what do you think? And so I can be flexible and to a certain point. Yeah.
And do you see anything that's emerging as a health concern that's not here yet? Is there anything you see a trend coming? I think those people like you can see it coming and maybe will act on it. But do you see any kind of health issue coming?
Well, I look at what's going on around the country, what's going on in the city. And what I think that we as a community need to look more at is diversity and equity. Mm-hmm. You know, I was at the WISD meeting where the superintendent was meeting with the different neighborhood groups, and I was at the one last week in East Waco. And, of course, the superintendent is new to mm-hmm. the community, but there were parents and people in the community that were there that had some thoughts about why things are the way they are based on what's happened in the past, and that there's a trust issue, which I know that there is. So I think that in order for us to move forward as a community, we have to look at that and talk about it as a community, acknowledge that things did happen, and, you know, for whatever reason, they happened. And then, mm-hmm. but what are we going to do to move forward? And so I think looking at issues of equity and diversity and equality are some things that this community needs to work towards.
I think that's very well said. And sometimes people just like kind of avoid that topic.
Yeah.
But I think it's very, very important. If we are going to thrive as a community, we have to address those issues. And I'm glad for the community meetings. We need much more of those mm-hmm. on a variety of topics. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that you see yourself just as a citizen, both from the health district and as a citizen and as a person who wants things to be better. So you have joined in to try to hear that conversation.
Right. And we also have, as one of our pillars at the health district in our strategic plan, a focus on equity. Because my thought is that equity is across systems. So we are a system. Mm-hmm. Like it or not, we are a system. So looking at what are we doing that we can tear down some barriers. But I wanted to make sure that the staff understands what that looks like and what that means before we go out and try to talk to other folks about it. So we are in the second year of working as with the staff to address issues of equity and what that looks like at the systems level. And then what are some of our own biases about mm-hmm. people, and talking through that. And then eventually we will bring that out to the community.
Any organization that tries to help the people who work there mm-hmm. improve their ideas about diversity, it's just a win-win situation mm-hmm. because it improves the interactions with people, the customer service.
So much so.
It improves the situation with coworkers and a better understanding of cultural things, how people do things, how they are not opposed to change, but this is how they know how to do things. It's a rich variety. Mm-hmm. And when you put all those people together and for a common goal, there's just almost no limit to what can be accomplished, I think. I think you're really on the right track. And you're still located in the big brick building on 84 before you go over the river.
Exactly.
All the offices there?
They are all in the health district building. Now, there's two buildings there.
Yeah, that's almost a complex there.
Yeah, so the administration building is in the opposite building. So my office in environmental health are in that building, but all of the other services are in the health district building. And so we get a lot of steps in going from building to building, which is okay. That's another one of our goals is to increase physical activity. So we start ourselves.
That's a good way. That is a very cheerful way to look at having to go all the way from one place to another. But in a way, the customer, it's probably a good thing to have the district all in one place because mm-hmm. you might have a variety of things that you'd need to see about.
And now, our WIC offices do have some offices out in the mm-hmm. community, because we do realize transportation can be an issue for some people. So we do have some of our WIC sites out in the community, so it's easily accessible to the clients.
When you think about when you go in the morning and you, you know, sit down and you just sometimes might be overwhelmed with all that's going on, how do you just, like, do you take it one bite at a time? Do you look at the big picture? What would you say is your approach?
Well, I pray a lot.
That you pray a lot?
I pray a lot. But
that's,
I do.
I
mean, I really do. I just ask God to order my steps and show me what I need to do today, because I really think that I'm in the position I'm in because of him. When Janet Emerson first resigned at the health district and her position came open, I applied and I didn't get it. And of course, I wasn't very happy about that. But, you know, I prayed about it. And, you know, I think God was telling me then that you're not ready. And so after that, they hired a guy, and he came. He worked for about, I think, 5 years maybe. And then he left. And then I was asked to come in and serve as the interim director. And I said, okay, Lord, I guess this is you working now. You're telling me this is what you want me to do. And then after a while, I interviewed for the job, and I received it. So I feel like that was him telling me, okay, it's time. I have prepared you to do this, so this is what I need you to do.
So I like that story so much, because I think having a time for meditation, thoughtfulness, you know, whatever your faith is, to draw on that, that will take you a long way when you mm-hmm. seem so overwhelmed by so many voices just coming from everywhere, so many people dissatisfied, you know, what looks like an unsolvable problem. But just having that time to just be quiet and try to listen to yourself inwardly is very important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I think that's key. I mean, that's my personal thought. And, mm-hmm. you know, my staff can attest, you know, I bring my Sunday school work, my Bible with me, and that's what I do on my lunch break, because I need that in the middle of the day to say, okay, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I got you.
Well, I tell you, Sherry, thank you so much for coming today. The one thing that I know that is extremely important is that we need a good, strong health district. And I know that our health district is in good hands. It's just been a pleasure to visit with you. And it's very exciting what's going on. I think a lot of people just don't even realize the depth and the scope of all the work that you and all of your army of people do every day to try to make us healthier, better, safer, just all the good things.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And we often say in public health, we're our own best kept secret.
I believe. Again, thank you.
Thank you.
This conversation was recorded November 7th, 2017 in the KWBU studio. This and past episodes of the Central Texas Leadership Series can be found online at kwbu.org.